Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to a Thursday edition of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Thursday, May 23rd. We want to say thank you for tuning in today. The reason why we're doing this show on a Thursday is because we had
some... You don't need to explain yourself.
Yeah. I have a gonorrhea check-in, so check-up, so that's why. It's really bad. It's...
Okay.
That's not true.
Awful thing to joke about.
True. So it's not that bad. No, I'm kidding. I'm helping a friend's daughter move. So part of me hates moving. So part of me kind of wishes it was for like a doctor's appointment, not necessarily a gonorrhea appointment, but well, not a gonorrhea appointment at all.
Yeah, we'll start off so good. Hi, guys.
Okay, let's start over. Coexisting with Rob and Maggie, it is Thursday, May 23rd. I want to say thank you for tuning in on this special day. We are having a special episode on this day because I got something coming up tomorrow. I don't need to explain myself. So we're just going to ignore what I said before and want to say thank you for tuning in. We have a big show today. We're going to be doing predictions for WWE's King and Queen of the Ring. We will also be doing predictions for AEW's Double or Nothing and talk about some other things going on in the world of pro wrestling. But as we start off every show, Maggie, how you doing?
You know what? Let's not ruin everything.
Like
we already did. Let's just say I'm fine. And that's a big fat lie. But we're not going to get into this. What I want us to talk about in a bit is I just want to see you take a victory lap. But before we get into this, hi, guys. Welcome to our show. Thank you so much for, joining us for this special edition of our show. We usually are on Fridays. We are on at Thursdays. It's not a big deal. Another thing that Ryan Sullivan is about to excuse himself for not, showing up to work or whatever. We love you, Ryan. A couple of plugs. Please leave a like on the video. I would appreciate it immensely if you send a super chat or a humper chat. A super chat, it's the bottom of the live chat, is the little dollar sign, just like our friend Ryan Sully did right before our show started. Thank you for this, Ryan. A humper chat is like a chat you can send before or after you found out about our show at humberchats.com. It helps us keep a little bit more of the money because we're poor. Also, I would like to push, leaving comments after the show has ended, after the podcast has ended. I would like to promote this more because it helps us out a lot. But the only thing that you can do that supports us a lot but costs zero amount of money is leaving a like on the video. Hit that thumbs up. Also, subscribe to Fightful Select. It is our bread and butter. During this amazing wrestling weekend, you will get a lot of scoops from Sean, maybe from Corey as well. And please subscribe to Fightful Overbooked. That is all from me. Now, Rob, please take a victory lap.
Okie dokie.
Yes. Like, you're not, you know, for now, you're not getting WrestleMania this year or next year, but you are getting something else. Please talk about it.
We in Minneapolis are going to be getting WWE SummerSlam, August 1st and 2nd, 2026. It is a ways out. It is kind of odd that they have announced it so far out in advance. However, I will take it because it is better than nothing, sort of like my exes have said. So I will take it. I am relieved because I was told by the people that I work with that if WWE did take WrestleMania away, that they would offer something pretty good in return to Minneapolis. This is pretty good. It gives them an extra night, so extra revenue. I am kind of curious why it's so long. I'm also curious why. I know next year here in Minneapolis, I believe it's, I could be wrong. I think it's the Special Olympics is going on here, but I still don't understand why it's not next year, but I mean, there's a reason why. Either they already have something planned or whatever. But the fact that it's coming here is, I'm okay with it. You know, like I said, it's better than nothing, you know. So would I prefer WrestleMania? Absolutely. Is this a shot for us to maybe get WrestleMania in the future by having a hell of a show here, maybe? Maybe. I doubt it, but I can dream in one hand and do something in the other and see what fills up first. So,
okay.
But WrestleMania is not here. SummerSlam will be for 2 days. Like I said, like I'm happy that we're getting it. It's just one of those things where I just preferred WrestleMania, you know. But that's me. It's, you know, there's some people that would want SummerSlam, and I get that. So I should just shut the hell up and just be happy with what I get. So I'm gonna shut the hell up and be happy with what I get. So there we go.
I'm kind of really glad for you. Like, please don't, like, I understand your, you know, your fascination with WrestleMania. I understand why wrestling fans will always prefer a WrestleMania in their home state, town, or country. I totally get that. But it's SummerSlam. Also, I don't know if this year's SummerSlam or next year's SummerSlam will be two-day show.
This year's not.
So we have no idea about next year, right? Also, they haven't announced next year's SummerSlam yet. We have 2026 SummerSlam.
Yeah, they haven't. Well, they haven't even announced where WrestleMania is in 2026. So
yes,
I mean, that's we don't know where Royal Rumble is next year. We don't know, like, where Survivor Series is this year. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's kind of weird with what's going on, but.
Yeah, I would like to think that there's always reason for that. But the thing is, if this is how it looks like it is, you guys are getting the first ever 2 day SummerSlam. Also, I would like to, you know, a lot of people think WrestleMania is the biggest event of the year, then it's Royal Rumble, then SummerSlam.
Yeah, it varies. Some people think SummerSlam's number two, but I think the hardcore wrestling fans look at it like from the Royal Rumble perspective, because I think we just saw them.
Yeah, personally, I like the Rumble even more than WrestleMania, but that's a personal thing. I also feel like this won't be the case as we move forward, because this year's WrestleMania, as the first ever WrestleMania that was a part of, you know, the Triple H era, it was pretty fine. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Maggie. How are you?
It's fine.
Hi, Sean.
Fine? You're okay? You're doing good?
No, but it's fine.
Okay. Rob, how are you? Knowing that you have, oh, I don't know, 27 months to prepare for anything coming to Minneapolis.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I was just telling her that.
You're telling me.
that they've announced it this far in advance. I don't get that, but
I sent somebody in WWE a message that said, please announce Backlash 2030 for Cincinnati. I mean, you and I specifically worked together on the WrestleMania thing because you have some good connections there, obviously. It's just weird. Like, you can tell how badly they were wanting to announce WrestleMania. And I had another person from the area that was like, man, they signed paperwork. I had people in AEW that were like, that had heard that they couldn't get out of whatever deal it was they had. So I wonder, and this is a hunch, it's not, you know, a report. I wonder if they were like, okay, well, we'll bring you another thing. And they'll probably end up running, you know, SmackDown and stuff there as well. It's just, I don't think it's a coincidence that they were supposed to get a two-night extravaganza. And then all of a sudden, SummerSlam is two nights again or now. So that's kind of wild. I wonder if next year's will be.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, and it was just very weird. And like I told Maggie before when we started, I go, I felt okay. Because when I was talking to people, they said, look, we're going to, something good's going to come out of it for Minneapolis. I was not expecting it to be 2 years in advance.
Yeah. But,
so that was the one thing that, when I talked to a few friends this morning, they're like, why so far in advance? I go, that part, I don't know, but
it's very strange, man. It's very strange.
That was the conspiracy. The dinner, the Minneapolis dinner.
They just, yeah. Oh boy. Well, I gotta say, you know, I have been known to have some thin skin on social media or not let things go when people will lie about me. But that was the time when I was like, okay, man, no matter what, people are going to speculate, like literally anybody, especially any woman I'm in a picture with, they're like, is he screwing her? But when I saw people be like, LOL, look at these losers hanging out with their friends, I bet they fuck. I was like, now hold on a second. Hold on a second. They were upset that I was hanging, and any number of those people were hanging out with our friends and with other beautiful people who happen to be in wrestling media. And they're like, man, what a bunch of losers. I bet they're all having sex after they go and have a nice dinner. And I said, you know what? That's one I'll just never touch because they kind of told on themselves there. Also, if that's what you limit valuing another person to, and you say, well, I bet that's why. Because I mean, I can tell you this, literally anytime I post a picture with Denise, it's like, oh, they're doing something, or they're not doing something and he's pathetic for not doing it. So it's like, it's so ridiculous. So I was just like, I'll let that one go. People are weird.
This is so weird because, like, whenever we have, you know, a meeting between the bars and everything, because, like, we sometimes do that. Yeah. No one has ever said, oh, what? Like, what is this? And even if we are, what do you care?
Like, yeah, what is it? Listen, there are a lot of people on the internet that are less so these days, but certainly a few years ago were oddly fascinated with what happens with my genitalia. And okay, I can tell you
that's their thing.
And all I want to say to them is it's way more exciting than you can even imagine. So keep speculating, keep guessing, keep thinking about me because it's even better than you think.
So speaking of, okay, well, how was the TK call?
Don't.
It wasn't noteworthy. It wasn't noteworthy at all.
I didn't think so. So,
I don't complain about it because I've got a direct line to all these people, but I never get called on for the Tony Khan calls. I get my questions in person, but never on the calls. It's very odd.
Why do you think that is? Because you're gay. You got paid from Triple H, right? In cheeses.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
That was certainly it. That's me. I get paid in cheese, go out to dinner, and do my thing afterwards. So,
what do you think Tony Khan will send you?
A seventh round draft pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, I know what that is. I'm totally aware.
Good.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I didn't know if you followed the NFL. I know that you know.
I don't.
I know that you know, like, about my team and stuff like that because you've mentioned it, but.
Yeah, because, like, you talk about it all the time.
Ace Shock says, Sean wanted to ask you, did you mention AEW talent wanting out of their contracts, or did I hear that wrong? You heard that wrong. I mean, I'm sure there are some over the course of, like, 100 people that do, but I didn't ever, like, post a report or anything about that, so.
Yeah, well.
How excited are you for this weekend?
You get to throw a first pitch out.
Yeah, I mean, if they get back to me on it, like, it's supposed to happen. I was told to tweet about it, but they're like, hey, show up at the dugout at 6:15. And I'm like, wait, I ain't got to buy a ticket to get in here, do I? But, yeah, I'm actually excited. I've been on a part-time schedule and on leave for, like, the last month. So this week I came back full-time, and I got two events to cover. And I like one of them because it's early afternoon, and the other one's night. So I got some time in between those. And listen, there's going to be some good stories coming to Fightful Select, including one right now about Natalia. And then I'll just be real. Y'all want some MJF news? Fightful Select.
I knew you knew something. Like, you were 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, MJF is totally, you know, he's not, I'm not buying it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he knows something.
Not buying it. Not at all. I wasn't buying it. He wants me to buy it. I know he does. But he, you know, he's a little fibber.
I bet he sent you the cheese. I bet he sent you the cheese.
I wish he'd send me cheese. If he did, he'd send me poison cheese.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that he will, you know, do his own thing about this. But you know what? I'm going to release a nice report today. Fightful Select back in the driver's seat today. Also, I got listed on the awful announcing Rising Stars.
I saw that.
Kind of cool.
That's great. I saw that. That's pretty cool.
I wasn't expecting that at all. I didn't. That was pretty neat. It was nice to have that after, you know, a rough month or so. But that was cool too.
That was very cool. I noticed, like, since being part of the employee chat and stuff like that, that you tend to go to movies on Thursdays quite a bit.
I do.
Are you seeing Mad Max?
No, that's not my kind of movie. Like, I did watch Fall Guy.
There's no Tom Hardy in it, right?
No.
I went and watched The Strangers Chapter 1, and let me tell you guys, is it a great movie? No. But, like, it eroded my confidence in Rotten Tomatoes. It completely did, because by the time I went and saw it, it was like a 14% on Rotten Tomatoes. I was like, oh my God, like, how could it be that low? And then I watched a movie. I can't even remember who the hell was in it, but it was 98%. And by the end of that movie, I went, why the hell did I watch this? But I've got a very specific genre of movies in general that I like. I like them to be rooted in realism. If there's some dude running with a gun on the front, I'm like, all right, I've seen this movie 100 times. If it's a horror movie and it has a wizard, a vampire, a ghost, a goblin, a vampire, any of that stuff, an exorcism, I don't want it. I want things rooted in realism, home invasion movies, you know, stuff like that. That's what I like. I like to be rooted in realism, because I spend a good portion of my week watching stuff that isn't rooted in realism.
That movie you couldn't remember, was it Monster Brawl?
Wrestling is not real? RJ?
Was it RJ? Was it Monster Brawl with RJ City and Kevin Nash?
It wasn't. It was a movie called Makeup.
Oh, and okay. That was close.
Yeah. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. I didn't like it. I didn't like the ending of it.
Well, we're going to get into our predictions now. So,
no, we're going to talk about Bray Wyatt a bit.
Oh, yeah, Bray Wyatt. I forgot about that. My bad.
We can talk a little bit about Bray Wyatt. I'm here for a minute.
Okay.
It's his birthday today. If I'm not wrong, he was going to be 37 today. And I know that a lot of Bray Wyatt was a lot of people's, you know, not their pick, you know, not their thing. And I kind of understand that, but like, I kind of, and the Uncle Howdy thing, I feel like it wasn't there for, you know, the amount of time that you would have expect in order for it to make sense in everything that was in Bray Wyatt's mind. And that's why I kind of feel like, because I think that people have given up on the Uncle Howdy thing already, and it hasn't even happened yet. And I'm going to give it some time, and I hope people give it some time also. From the very beginning, I'm almost certain that people are going to love it nonetheless because of Bray Wyatt's legacy and everything. But I do hope that the idea of the Wyatt Six is explained in full, you know, not immediately, but like leaves breadcrumbs and everything, you know, storytelling, one stone after the other. And, you know, just like the Giant explained to Agent Cooper, you know, in season two of Twin Peaks. That's what I'm talking about. Exactly. So what do you guys think? Are you hopeful? Is it going to be your thing? Like, Sean, I know that your thing isn't, you know, the spooky.
Based on the documentary that we saw, it seems like WWE is acutely aware that some of the flaws in the Bray Wyatt booking, and honestly, some of it were at Bray Wyatt's urging, is that once it got into the ring, they had to make it make sense. I feel like Bo and company will be a lot less steadfast in things that maybe don't make as much sense outside the ring as inside, or inside the ring as outside the ring. And it might bring some realism to it. But I think there is a place for that in wrestling. It always has its audience. It always has its place. And there are going to be people that like that. I am a big horror movie guy, but I didn't quite like some of that. I like the original, you could run into these guys in the woods. Like, legitimately, I lived in an area where I felt like if I went walking 10 minutes south, I might run into those guys hanging out in the woods, sawing somebody in half. Like, I felt
that's
like
why you were, you know, in season four of X-Files. I just, you know, I sent you the picture.
I never watched X-Files, maybe an episode or two, but an all-time great theme song.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
Do I think Frodo's a bitch? I think everybody in that entire series is a bitch.
Okay, how can I kick Sean off the show?
I watched and enjoyed the first couple of movies, which is shocking because of how severe my ADHD was, especially as a teenager. But my God, I fell asleep during the last one.
Got another one. Ryan Soli says, early Snapchat. Triple H posted a
super chat video.
What'd I say?
Snapchat.
Oh, did I? Super chat, same thing. You know how it goes. Triple H just posted a video stating the winners of the tournament get a title shot at SummerSlam. Does this change your picks? Now I can see either Cody, or I can see Cody versus Gunther or Randy. Either would be a banger. Cheers.
Cheers. Well, Gunther is on another show than Cody. Like, and I would like to think that the brand split is a thing now that Triple H is there. I would want to believe that. I still think that this is Gunther's tournament to win. Imagine Gunther calling himself King, you know, King Gunther. And this immediately transcends into the storyline between him and Ilya Dragunov, who calls himself the Tsar, which means king in Russian.
So there, I could see two things. One, I don't much mind if it's like Money in the Bank, Royal Rumble, or King of the Ring winner, if they jump brands to challenge for a title. I don't think he said world championship opportunity. At least the tweet didn't say that. So I guess we can see there. I mean, you know, I'm just playing what they do. You know what I mean? Randy Orton versus Cody at SummerSlam would be a legit top match, but also Gunther as well. WWE Raw has got to get some help back, man. So bad. Punk is out. Drew hasn't been on the show quite as much lately. Seth is out. Rhea is out. They need some help. I hope they re-sign Becky Lynch, but have some news on Natalya possibly re-signing. But I love when Country Sean tells stories. So I was going to share, I just shared before, but like my one or two experiences speaking with Bray Wyatt, he dropped me a message a couple years ago. And it's because I was discussing with somebody when he came back. I was excited that he was coming back. And they're like, oh, well, here's you not liking his segment whenever. You clearly hated Bray Wyatt. And I was like, what are you talking about? I never make it personal here. Like, I think that he was a very creative guy and a very talented guy. And he actually dropped me a message. And he was like, just so you know, I'm aware of things that you said, and I don't have a problem with that. He's like, my work is not for everybody. He's like, and I would never take that personal for somebody who never makes it personal. And we actually got to talking about how people act online. And he was like, can I ask you, how many followers do you have on social media, blah, blah, blah. And I think at the time I had like 200,000. And he was like, remember this. He's like, that many people don't dislike you. And he's like, that's what I have to remember every time I get criticism or somebody says something really terrible personally. He was like, I think about all the people that do like me and how much that outweighs the number of people that get weird and personal about what it is that I do. So I thought that was very nice of him, and I really appreciated that. It was very, very nice.
Just makes me like Bray even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is missed very much so.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to hop off of here, guys. Check out. Nice. We're going to have some good reports on Fightful Select today. Enjoy.
I like it. Thanks, Sean. All right. So, man.
I love Bray Wyatt. I mean, I will always draw comparisons between the storytelling that Bray Wyatt did in his, you know, in his segments with everything that Lynch does. And for people who are going to jump on my head about this, believe me, it's there. It's there. The, you know, the comparisons between everything that Bray Wyatt imagined his character to be is incredibly Lynchian. And that is, of course, the reason why I adore Bray so much.
I haven't.
What is it?
It takes place in Seattle, I believe.
Oh. Oh, okay.
I believe that's, somebody could tell me if I'm wrong.
Immediately good for me.
I think I could be wrong.
Okay, Rob, what's your t-shirt? What t-shirt are you wearing?
Chewbacca.
Oh, it has some glasses. Why does it have Dahmer glasses?
That I don't know. Because Chewie, when Chewie is not on the Aluminum Falcon, he's...
Yeah.
He's
in Milwaukee, apparently.
Yeah, he's in Milwaukee, destroying lives and throwing...
Destroying lives, yes.
Cannons, barrels with... acid.
Oh yeah, okay. Let's talk
okay
a bit about wrestling. Let's just start with normal stuff. Again, everyone in the chat, hi. A reminder to leave a thumbs up on the video. Let's start off with some wrestling. King of the Ring, that is last year's graphic.
It is, isn't it? Well, shit.
It is. It is last year's graphic.
Cool. Well, never mind.
It's so fine. We'll forget like, about, people know.
We'll forget about that one. We'll forget about this one. So, those are the only two I got. Well, hell. Anyways, yeah, let's go ahead and just... No, it doesn't matter. Hell with it. We'll start off with this match. King of the Ring Finals. Gunther taking on the winner of tomorrow night's SmackDown match between Randy Orton and Tamatonga. What do they call him now? I forgot. Did they change it? They changed it, right? Tamatonga. Okay. Well, you know, whatever. Maggie, who you got? I got Gunther.
Yeah, but like, first of all, who do you got tonight? You know, Orton or Tamatonga?
Or tomorrow? Yeah.
Oh, thinking it's Friday. I'm sorry. Friday. Yeah. Is it a taped show?
Tomorrow? No, yeah, it has to be taped for here, at least in the States.
Yeah, because like it's...
Yeah. They're not going to put it on Fox.
I don't know who won that. If it's taped already, I have no idea who won between Orton and Tama Tonga.
It's going to be Orton, I think, versus Gunther.
Okay.
Because so what I think is going to happen is, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I think Kevin Owens is going to have Orton win. That's what I think is going to happen.
Okay. That was what I was about to say. I'm anxious to see how Orton beats Tama Tonga. I feel like Tama Tonga just got here. So it's going to be interesting. Did you watch SmackDown last week? What the hell were those sounds, the Tama Tonga?
Yeah, I don't know.
And why?
Before I forget, clown in the chat, not saying he's a clown, that's his name. he says that it takes place in the Atlantic or New Jersey area, so I was close. Seattle, New Jersey, pretty much the same thing. Anyways.
And now, I'm sorry, clown. You need to explain your handle for us, because like, please, there must be a reason.
All right. Okay, let's go back to the match. I have Gunther versus Randy Orton, and I think before they announce this, I really thought it was going to be Gunther taking on Cody. Like, Gunther was going to win. I mean, there was no title shot. Now I'm kind of curious to see if it's Randy Orton. That makes me very interested now. I mean, I already was, but now I'm just more, I guess, intrigued by this matchup, because I can totally see Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton at SummerSlam. I mean, that's going to be a main event match. So it's even Gunther versus Cody is going to be a main event match. My thing is just, I don't know. I can't picture Gunther losing either match. I mean, I don't want to picture it, because I think he's just untouchable, but he did lose to Sammy. So I'm very curious to see how they would do it.
So
there could, yeah. So, oh, one other thing there, this could be a way for, this could be a way for Gunther to be screwed over by, I forgot his name. They just kicked him out a couple weeks ago. What's not Fabian, is it? Or
Fabian Aichner, Marcel, yeah. Bart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Giovanni. Yeah. I could see that maybe happening to help Orton. That's one way you can protect. Yeah, you can protect him in a way. If it's not Kevin Owens, Giovanni Vinci. You know, okay. That's the way I see it. But even though I don't like it, I don't like that idea, but that's the only way I can see it protecting mm-hmm. Orton. But I also can't see the King Randy Orton gimmick either.
See how hard it is? Like, back in the day, this was going to be a slam dunk. Okay, so here's when it becomes weird, okay? So, because Gunther... I feel like Gunther has been champion in WWE for 90% of the time that he's been here. Because he was NXT UK champion forever. And then he was Intercontinental champion forever. He's held championships longer than the amount of time that he hasn't been. A lot longer. And that's saying something. So, the thing is, whenever Gunther gets pinned or loses a match, it is from someone that they see that matters. Years ago, this was Ilya Dragunov. Ilya Dragunov is one of the best things that sprung out from NXT UK. And it was also one of the best things that sprung out from the United States side of NXT. All his matches are worthy of a watch, and that's saying something. Like, there is no boring Ilya Dragunov match. All of them have immense chemistry and emotion and intensity to them. The second time that Gunther lost was against Sami Zayn. And I feel like this matters a lot because Sami Zayn was made to feel incredibly important even last year when Roman Reigns beat him for the title. I forgot the pay-per-view. It was in, you know, in Canada before WrestleMania. So,
Elimination Chamber.
Thank you, Elimination Chamber. So I kind of feel like Sami Zayn was built as, you know, the best Sami Zayn is the underdog Sami Zayn. And when he gets that championship, you know, just watch him be emotional about it. That's the thing. So the thing is, Orton, I know Randy Orton is a huge figure in WWE and is one of the big chiefs when it comes to putting butts on seats and, you know, ticket sales and merchandise and everything and the Viper. I understand that. It is my and mine alone personal opinion. I never got into Randy Orton, and still I adored when the audience in France sang along to his song.
France.
Yes, and I kept asking, why have we waited so many years to do that? And now they started doing it statewide also. So me not liking, you know, not getting into anything that Randy Orton has done, you know, his vibe, didn't get in the way of me getting chills when everyone sang his song. The dude deserves his flowers. He's been a workhorse. He's been there for, has it been like nearly two decades or no?
Oh, it's been longer than that.
Oh, well, there you go. Like, he's been around, and it's, I will always give Randy Orton his flowers. I just like his gimmick and his type of in-ring, you know, the slow methodical, you know, wrestling kind of thing. It was never, you know, for me. It does make for good story in-ring storytelling, but that's the, you know, whole different situation. The thing is, you can't persuade me that Randy Orton will pin Gunther. I refuse to believe that. I kind of feel like Gunther is, I mean, King Gunther, okay?
Yeah.
Tell me that doesn't sound right. I kind of feel like
King Orton Gunther, doesn't sound.
I understand the fact that people want to see Cody versus Orton. This can be a thing for SummerSlam. We have time, enough time until SummerSlam for Randy Orton to be built up as a credible opponent for Cody after losing to Gunther in May. There's enough time for that because I understand that we're in a different time now, which means that, you know, back in the day, even though Randy Orton lost to Gunther in King of the Ring, on the very next episode of Raw or SmackDown or whatever, he was gonna confront Cody, and he was gonna be, you know, Cody's next opponent. Now I kind of feel like stuff matters, wins and losses. It's no longer about likes and swipes, you know, the whole Grayson Waller thing on NXT. Like, I don't even want to remember that crap.
All right, so.
I kind of feel like it's Gunther. I spent a lot of time on it, but I kind of felt like, you know, I needed to explain myself why. Okay. I thought, again, nothing against Orton. Seriously, I just, the new up-and-comer, Gunther, like, I don't, just push Gunther to the moon. He's the perfect wrestler. Sean always tells that. And I never, you know, I would never have said it like this, but I always kind of felt like it was me being biased against a European. And maybe it is that because European wrestlers are the best. But how can you not love Gunther? You can boo the guy because you're supposed to. But tell me that you're not in pain every time you see him wrestle. So yes, Gunther, I'm sorry for rambling on and on.
All right, I got Gunther as well. So let's move on to our next one. Lyra taking on either Bianca Belair or Nia Jax. I think Nia Jax is going to win tomorrow night because I think the way they're going with Bianca is definitely towards the heel turn eventually. But we shall see before this came into play, the stipulation, I had Nia winning. Now I can actually see any of the three winning. But I think Nia wins it. I think she wins the whole, like, the Queen of the Ring. I think she beats Lyra. I think she wins. But we know I suck at predictions, so there you go.
Can we just, you know, rant a bit about the way Nia Jax got to where she is now?
Sure.
Because, like, how, okay, Nia was about to hit Jade with a chair, and Jade was like, oh no, and she stopped her, and she hit her with a chair herself, which of course this causes a disqualification, Jade.
Yeah,
like, you're not,
you know what happened. This is what pretty much what you're trying to say is this is what happened.
Who the hell told you tonight was open mic night, bitch?
That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, I would like to think so. No, her daughter was in the front row, okay? And let's just say that maybe she was distracted. Maybe she was emotional because Nia got in her daughter's face and everything.
Yeah.
This is the only way I can, you know, explain, you know, everything that happened. But that sucked a lot. Like, I started verbalizing it to my television in the morning when I was watching this. And I was like, you are such an incredible woman. I love you. And I feel like I'm, you know, in a totally different species than you because your body makes me feel worthless. You make me feel like I like women and I don't. But, like, how can you not know that you're going to get disqualified? Why are you like this? And this is just like, you know, Saturday morning with my coffee before work. Why are you making me yell at my television? I was pissed off. But, yeah.
I understand. I like women, so I get it.
Yeah. It's probably better. We got to where we are. Bianca will face Nia Jax. I do feel like Nia Jax will move forward. And I was actually pulling for Lyra Valkyria here because I love the way that she's portrayed on Raw, you know, in-ring wise. On the microphone, hell no! If you believe in your dreams, everything will come true. You just need to keep pushing forward. Just believe in yourself. What the fuck is this crap? And I'm sorry, but why isn't Becky Lynch slapping the snot out of her face
When Soupy, Becky I need Lynch you to make sure you take care of this for me. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Please. We miss you, Soupy, in the chat. Why? Isn't Becky giving her pointers? Because what the fuck was that? If you believe in your dreams, you can always achieve everything that you hoped you wished for when you were a little girl. What the actual fucking dog crap? That shit.
Okay. I was like, you won't. Okay. Dog crap. You're like, you stop there, but you won't say. I'm just giving you crap, but no.
Explain.
Lyra, I can't explain. It was
it's
bad.
It's so good. Why are they making her feel like Ricochet when he was first called up to the main roster? Oh, maybe superheroes are real. What the actual crap, mother of fuck? This pisses me off. Amazing wrestlers.
Are you sure?
Why are you doing this to him?
Oh my god. Yeah.
Nia Jax. So who do you got?
Okay.
Nia Jax, only because of this crappy promo that they made Lyra do.
We gotta move on. So we're gonna go through these a little bit quicker now. So let's see here. We will move on to let's go with the triple threat match. Bronson Reed, Chad Gable challenging Sami Zayn in a triple threat match for Sami's Intercontinental Championship.
I love how much time this entire storyline got on Raw. This is what you and I talked about, you know, in our chat. I'm happy that Gable is given this time. He was seen backstage with the Creed brothers, and this makes me kind of excited for it. Because, like, we can see this was not an Irish accent whatsoever. I cannot pull off Irish accents. This was not Irish.
Was it British?
What was it? No, it was something that, you know, sprung from my mouth. And if you know me, that nothing good comes out of my mouth, even in. So,
I had, like, so many things I could have just.
Yes. So no, if you want, you can hit up Corey. I loved having Corey on the show because I have a thing for Irish accents, but that's fine. I have Sammy winning here, but the thing is, I kind of feel like Bronson Reed has been not so important. Yes, Ricardo, thank you. The dreams come true shtick is ass. It is the drizzling shits.
All right.
This is so, a lot.
I can tell.
Yeah. I'm bummed out because Bronson Reed hasn't been, feeling that important in this triple threat match. And I kind of feel like he is because he can squash the two of them a lot.
Squash.
Okay. Yeah. I'll pop if Bronson Reed wins. I'll seriously pop, but he's not. Sammy's retaining here. I can see Otis probably, you know, kind of standing up for himself because
I hope so.
You know, but I kind of feel like it's too soon. I kind of feel like it's too soon.
When it happens, though, it's going to be like the crowd's going to lose their shit.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to our next match.
Who do you got?
Oh, I have Sammy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Otis helps Sammy in a way. I don't know how. I think it'll maybe be accident because I think they're not going to turn Otis yet. I mean, well, let me rephrase this. I mean, we already know Otis is a face, but he's not going to turn his back on Gable yet, I don't think. But I could be wrong, you know.
Bunkers makes a good point in the chat. Otis tries to interfere but costs Gable. This can happen, and this can make Chad slap Otis some more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We go to our next match, the Women's World Championship match between Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. Maggie, who you got?
I love you, Becky. You are my muse, and I would love to have your book, and I will buy it sometime. But Liv Morgan wins here. I do feel like Liv wins here. I kind of feel like this thing that with Becky not officially resigning with WWE can be a part of, you know, the thing. I knew that you were up to something because you were neither talking nor getting the graphic out. So what the fuck is this? I don't know if you're muted or not. I mean, you can try.
Optimus Rob.
Optimus Rob.
Or Robdimus. Optimus Dipshit. Optimal Dipshit.
Robdimus Prime.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so who do you got? I have Liv.
I have Starscream. No, I have Liv Morgan.
Okay. I kind of wish this was your Mandalorian, you know, Boba Fett, your...
Yeah. Well, I just got this. I found it at a thrift store. And I
kind of feel like it's too small for your head.
It pretty much is. But I had to have it.
I feel like you're in pain.
I kind of am. So we're going to go to this next match. If I can fucking see it. Where the hell's going?
Okay.
This backfired. Where the hell is my mouse?
Why do you ever do these things when Sean is here?
Because I don't want to get fired.
Yeah, there you go.
What is this one? Is that it? Nope.
No, Robert. No, that's the Cooper guy. There you go. Are these the only matches on the show?
Who showed up there? That was weird. Yeah, Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul.
I have Cody Rhodes winning here. I'm actually kind of glad that this match isn't title for title. Because surely Cody Rhodes was going to beat Logan Paul. Logan Paul is absolutely 100% guaranteed to have amazing matches in Saudi Arabia. I feel like on this show we've made a point out of none of us liking Logan, but always giving Logan his flowers when it comes to in-ring competition. Because he has zero right to be this good in the ring, not being a professional wrestler. Okay? Incredibly athletic, amazing in the ring, all around. But Cody Rhodes is winning here. I like the fact that this isn't title for title. I don't like titles being, hoarded. And I also would like to see the United States Championship actually get defended. That's why I would want this title to be off of Logan Paul. I know that he kind of, probably they think that Logan Paul brings prestige to the title. I understand that because, you know, views and subscribers and everything. I get it. I totally get it. But... you know, throughout his altercation backstage with LA Knight, everyone lost their minds. And probably I kind of feel like that's the route that we're going for. Because we thought that we were going to get it at, you know, WrestleMania. We didn't. Maybe we're going to get it at SummerSlam. So Cody Rhodes wins here. I kind of feel like we can all, you know, agree on this. Maybe if Logan Paul wins, I'll be LOLing in DMs with... Steven Jensen, happy belated birthday.
Yeah, Steven. Happy belated birthday.
We adore you, sweetie. I am so sorry if Logan wins. I know it's not going to happen. It's totally not happening.
Shit ain't working again. Oh, well. Happy belated birthday to Steven Jensen. Cody wins. That's really all I can say about that. And sorry about Optimus Prime. I can tell that didn't go too well. That didn't go over too
Robtimus well. Prime is so
Robtimus
good.
Prime.
Yeah, I kind of feel like like you were in pain. That's why.
Well, kind of. It just, my head's big, I guess. I don't know. What she said. Anyways, we do have a super chat, so let me read that. Carter says, can't wait for Otis to toss Chad into space.
Yeah, he can pounce the crap out of him.
Yeah, it's going to be over for him. So let's do the Cooper effect. How's that sound for you?
Yes, please.
All righty. Cooper effect coming right up.
So, hi guys. We were stupid enough not to do a Cooper effect last week because we kind of forgot. Yes, just see how ridiculous this sounds. Hi guys, we forgot to give you a reason to smile this week. Because that's what the Cooper effect is. So, you can show the picture of the whale that you put, you know, minutes ago, though you weren't supposed to. See that awesome ass whale? That's a say whale. I had to Google how that's pronounced. So the thing is that from, you know, news from Argentina shows that, you know, the benefits of the 1946 International Convention for the regulation of whaling are still compounding, with sei whales returning to the South American nation's coastal waters for the first time in nearly a decade. Overhunting during the 1920s and 30s led these massive blue-gray giants to abandon the ancestral waters in Argentina. So the third largest whale in the world, the sei, can grow up to 64 feet. That's 20 meters for normal people, by the way. Yes, 20 meters in length and weigh up to 31 tons. Jesus. It's also among the fastest whales in the world and is certainly the fastest for its size group. It can swim up to 31 miles per hour over short distances. So yes, these amazing creatures are coming back to waters because whaling isn't a thing anymore. Why was it a thing in the first place? I can't tell you. Well, of course I can, but that sucks. Yes, thank you for seizing, you know, your awful human behavior. Because it kind of pisses me off because, like, I kind of feel like a week or two ago, the last of, was it the right, the white rhino? Yeah, the last of its kind died.
Oh,
like the last of its species. Again, I feel like it was the white rhino? I kind of feel like that was its. I'm sorry if I'm mistaken about the species itself, but yes, like a week or two ago, like the last of its kind died because we are amazing, you know, creatures. Thank you, Ricardo. Yes, please hit the thumbs up.
Hey, you want to know a fun fact about whales?
That is so gross. Okay.
Yeah, I found it on the World Wide Web, so I thought.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. I'm not going to read that out loud before our podcast listeners.
Yes, I'm sorry for the podcast listeners missing out on, you know, this amazing stuff. Let's move forward to Double or Nothing predictions.
Yes, let's do it. Here we go. Maggie. Well, before we go on to Double or Nothing, what match are you looking forward to the most?
To Double or Nothing?
Yeah.
Of course, Mercedes Moné versus Willow, because I kind of feel like I want to see what Moné looks like, you know, in an AEW ring. Yeah, I read that. I'm telling you, Corey is one of the best ones here.
Yeah,
seriously. So, yeah, I want to see what Mercedes Moné looks like in a in an AEW ring. Apart from that, the Anakin the Arena match is obviously a wonderful, you know, a wonderful. To see, because it's Anarchy in the Arena, it's always going to be, you know, this amazing thing. But what are the matches that you're looking forward to?
For this show, I think it's definitely Ospreay versus Roderick Strong for me. I think that match is just going to hump, because this is, in my opinion, it's going to be really the first time that we get to see Roderick Strong just granted, I know he's done NXT stuff and he's done like AEW stuff, but this is like his first, like, in my opinion, big singles match, like excluding the Ring of Honor stuff. I'm talking where a lot of people are going to see. I'm just excited for this match. It's going to be good. And I've been watching Roddy Strong for almost 2 decades now. So it's one of those things where I'm very happy that he gets to do this match. But that's a match I'm looking forward to the most on this card. And I should have asked, what match are you looking forward to the most this weekend? Because my match that I'm looking forward to the most this weekend is definitely Gunther versus Randy Orton for me.
Yes, that's the one for me as well. I can absolutely totally see this happening. You know, the Gunther versus versus Orton stealing the show, but yes, like you said, Will Ospreay versus Roderick Strong. This is gonna be a fun match, because have they ever faced each other? Because I kind of suck at this.
Will Ospreay, yeah. Like, other than tag match, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I doubt it. I'll look while you're talking, but I don't think they have.
Yeah. I kind of feel like there's a reason Will Ospreay just lost his first match in AEW. I mean, he wasn't the one to get pinned. You know, Orange Cassidy was pinned during their tag match this week. Will Ospreay in
they've wrestled before.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, they faced a trend. What?
2015.
Okay. So, okay, 9 years ago. Okay. Yeah, so Will Ospreay and Orange Cassidy faced Trent and Roderick Strong. The thing I hate the most is that Will Ospreay and Orange Cassidy were a wonderful tag team. I didn't pay attention if anyone on commentary mentioned the fact that Will Ospreay was the one to face Orange Cassidy at the first Forbidden Door.
I don't recall, because I wasn't listening to commentary.
Yes.
Watching my Timberwolves blow it.
Yeah, sure. From one point of view, I kind of felt like... I kind of feel like Roderick Strong holding that championship is the thing that kept the Undisputed Kingdom together. And now I kind of feel like he's going to lose that championship. And I don't know what we do from there. I really don't. Steve-O said that they didn't. Okay, thank you, sweetie. I did not pay attention to that. So I don't know what this means for the United, from the Undisputed Kingdom. Wardlow did get in the middle of the match. You know, he lariated the crap out of Will Ospreay's back. Now, like, okay, sweetie, like, you did something. You got your paycheck. Now, could you please be interesting again? Because I kind of miss that. And if someone dare say, oh, he wasn't interesting ever, like, I'm going to ban you from the chat. Okay? So
say that again. Oh, you said ban. Never mind.
Not bang.
Well,
of course
I'm dirty.
So, I'm pretty sure this is going to be an amazing match. I kind of feel like, I know it's lost without Cole, but I kind of, it's not Cole's fault, and it's neither of anyone else's fault in that group. That no, they gave them nothing. Yeah. Yes, that they gave them nothing when Adam Cole got injured. Of course, it's a really sad, you know, story about Adam Cole's injury, and it sucked, and it kind of derailed everything. They still could have done a lot more stuff with it. We can get into, you know.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get started. We'll go with the AEW Women's World Championship to start off. You have Timeless Toni Storm taking on Serena Deeb. I like Serena Deeb, but there's no way they're going to let her beat Toni Storm, in my opinion. So I got Toni Storm. Who you got?
I have Toni Storm here as well. I don't understand why people... Okay, I do understand why people are booing Serena Deeb, but she's kind of the face here. They stole her flag. Toni Storm used it as a towel. She undressed herself behind it. And all that Serena Deeb did was getting the ring and use a shoe to punish Toni Storm. And everyone was like, boo. What? She just wanted her flag back. Your people are mean. Like, they tried to make her a babyface, you know, with that promo she did, you know, on the ramp. It didn't quite hit. I understand that. But... this is my weekly report that I miss Jamie Hayter so much. Yes, I miss Jamie Hayter. I kind of miss Britt Baker as well. I'm not a scoopster or anything. I have no idea what the backstage feel is. I kind of feel like there's something going on. Otherwise, Britt Baker would not have been off television so much. I see her on social media. She's jacked. She is working on herself so much. I'm not the one to say if she's injured or not or anything. She was able to get over a ton even when she was injured in the past. So I have no idea what's going on there. I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff going on that we are not aware of, and we probably shouldn't be aware of that. I mean, it's none of our concern. But I do miss valuable parts of the women's division on my television. I understand about Jamie Hayter. It sucks so much that have no time frame on her injury. And I just wish that she could be healthy. I really do. But yes, Toni Storm here.
Alrighty.
The match is going to be good.
We will move on to a triple threat match, or excuse me, a six-man tag match between the Unified World Trios Champions, Bang Bang Gang, taking on Death Triangle. Yay! This match, I mean, don't get me wrong, all these guys are good wrestlers, you know. They're all good. Anyways, I think Death Triangle wins. That's my opinion. Who do you got?
I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
Well. Yeah. Okay. No. That's really sad. I, like you said, I adore all six people in this match. Pac was the one who pled with the Bang Bang Gang. You know, Bang Bang Scissor Fuck. You know, he pled with them to make him feel something. They did. Like, they beat the crap out of him and left him on, you know, on the top of the ramp and stuff. Then Pac was like, well, okay, they're matey. Oh my god, that was great. Okay, so I'm gonna get, you know, my guys, because like Ray Phoenix was back for a while and he was like, what did you do to your body, Ray? Like, what is this? He looks so good. Not that he ever looked bad, but like, what the hell was that? He just did this thing, and you know, the thing that he does on the ramp, you know, with the spitting of the water, but he didn't spit water this time. He did the thing, and like his muscles went into space, and like, what? Yeah. I'm stoked for this match because I'm stoked to see those championships probably meaning more than they used to, because I cannot. Okay. All these championships, please make one set of belts. This is this is giving me ticks on my, you know, in my eyes and everything. Just stop it. You're wearing three sets of titles on a bat. You think that this makes you look cool, but it doesn't. I'm also mad that Jay White isn't a big deal in AEW. This pisses me off. Because I don't know if you remember when the first time he appeared on Dynamite, you didn't see his face. You just saw his back and his, you know, Switchblade logo thing on his Bullet Club jacket. Everyone lost their minds. They lost their minds. And now that he's here, he's just irrelevant. This pisses me off. Why? Well, like, why did we get to here? He's awesome on the mic. He's awesome in the ring. Why is this happening? Just, if you, and it's not, you know, Bang Bang Gang, the gun's fault. It's not, because they're good. Like, they became good. I don't know, like, the trios division hasn't been a thing ever since Wembley, and that's just fucking annoying. If those sets of titles actually do change hands here, which I am predicting, I hope Pac and Lucha Brothers, you know, Death Triangle, they get those championships and they actually make them mean something, defend them, whatever. Make one set of belts, please.
All right, so we both have Death Triangle. Mm-hmm. We move on to Orange Cassidy taking on Trent Barretta. This is a tough one for me because I can see, like, Orange Cassidy winning, you know, obviously, because
he's
one of the biggest stars. But I think Trent Barretta gets the victory here.
I do kind of feel like Trent Barretta is the one to take the win here. I feel like Orange Cassidy was protected a ton in the last couple of years, so he can take a loss. I would like to see where this thing with Don Callis is going. It's kind of weird. If it ends up being Trent working with Don Callis all along and they're trying to screw over Orange Cassidy, that will make a lot more sense, because turning Orange Cassidy heel is a weird twist here. Everyone was saying for years that Trent Barretta is incredibly underrated in AEW, and now we can see what he can do.
I've seen it. I mean, that's the thing. I would have agreed with that for a long time, because I know Trent Barretta's really damn good at what he does. So
absolutely. Do you like? I saw some people throw in Rocky Romero in this. He did mention in a backstage interview that he's continuing on from, you know, the best friends thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of believe that, and I don't think that he interferes here whatsoever. I can see Trent joining the Don Callis family. Will Hobbs is hurt, so he's out of the picture. I do see in the future Will Ospreay yanking Kyle Fletcher away from Don Callis. So I can see Trent joining the Callis family.
Well, you know, the thing too is, I mean, I can see Rocky teaming or like going with Beretta because of Roppongi Vice. I mean, that's so I absolutely could see that, but it'll be interesting.
I can't see Rocky Romero being heel on AEW. Come on.
Yeah. So it sounds like we both have Trent Beretta.
Yes, Trent.
Let's go to this one. FTW Championship match, triple threat. Chris Jericho defending the FTW Championship against Hook and Shibata.
You know, this is a triple threat. And Big Cass can pretty much be a part of this match. But I'll tell you what, I will lose my shit if Shibata wins here. I think Chris Jericho retains. I most recently found out that he didn't ask anyone if he can deface the FTW championship the way that he did. Did you know this?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because like I recently found out that they do not make FTW replica belts like at all. And this is the only one they have. And like he just put the learning tree on it and like he didn't discuss it with Taz whatsoever or anything. And he just put it on the belt. I mean, it's what Alex and Sean talked about on the show. I had no idea that this was a thing. I'm not the one to talk about this as it is not my championship like whatsoever. I do feel like Chris retains here because his gimmick makes sense right now. What he's doing is annoying and it's supposed to be. And I do feel like Chris retains here via the help of Big Cass because I do not see him beating both Hook and Shibata.
Yeah, I we've agreed on everything so far, so hopefully we'll come to agreement here soon or a disagreement here soon. But I think with Big Cass,
do you think? I'm sorry for interrupting because like we didn't have an altercation last week between Hook and Joe, and that's when Shibata did the whole phone thing saying that floor patterns don't suit Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Which was really funny. So do you think that actually Samoa Joe takes Hook under his wing?
Oh, I'd hope so. That'd be pretty cool.
This would be really, really cool. If Joe actually takes Big Bill out of the picture, I call him Big Cass before.
I do.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can't teach that. If Joe takes Big Bill out of the picture, they can make it work. And like, but if this whole thing just depends on Joe here.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with Hook because I think you made a good point here. Samoa Joe taking care of Big Bill. I like that idea. So
I would like for this to, But because Chris Jericho's gimmick is working, I kind of feel like he continues doing that. And that's why I'm going with Chris Jericho. I don't like it, just FYI.
This match, somebody's going to bleed. And his name is John Moxley. John Moxley taking on Takeshita for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship Eliminator match. John Moxley wins. That's the easiest way to say it. And he bleeds because that's what John Moxley does. He bleeds.
I'm going with Takeshita.
Wow. All righty.
I kind of feel like it's about damn time to belt the crap out of Takeshita.
All righty.
Takeshita wins. I am not changing my mind.
Okie dokie. Artichokey. So we will move on. Again, Malachi Black taking on TNT champion Adam Copeland in a barbed wire steel cage match. Yay! Somebody's going to bleed in this one too, and his name is both of them. You think Malachi wins here? Because I don't.
No, I kind of feel like Adam Copeland wins here, and I'm already pissed off. I kind of feel like I got my point across.
It's a non-title match? What's non-title?
What is non-title, Scott? Please elaborate on that. If you could. Yes, I do feel like Adam Copeland wins here. Again, I'm really upset about it. I explained myself last week. I'm like, for me to say I'm not happy with the way House of Black has been handled in AEW would be putting it mildly. Aleister Black in WWE and now Malachi Black in AEW has been so incredibly fascinating to me. One of my favorites in NXT to watch. His main roster run wasn't what I expected it to be, and neither is his AEW run. He started off so great, pinning Cody in like 5 seconds. It was great. That's not the way he's being portrayed now. Brody King is doing great with Julia, but she's taking some time off now.
Julia.
Yes. It's just a bit kind of upsetting. I would like for him to win because he had a ton of strawberry juice got poured on him. It rained a lot. Okay, that was a lot. That was a lot.
I don't think that is. Oh, it is. I'd be eliminated. You're right. It is. I guess a eliminator match. So I guess if Takeshi wins, he gets a title shot or what? I don't know.
Yes. That's why I said that Takeshi is going to win.
I thought it was for the title, but
No, it's an eliminating match. That's why I said that it's time for them to put a belt on Takeshi.
Why do they just not make it a title match? Because they want to defend it on their show, on their pay-per-view, or what?
Well, because Moxley is defending the title against Evil and Dominion, Scott said in the chat.
It'd probably help if I read shit, huh?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yes.
So you got? You got Copeland or?
I got Copeland, and this is the bitterest pick on this show for me. I would lose my mind if Malachi wins because it was about fucking damn time. Put a title on Malachi, please.
Copeland wins. We'll move on to the Anarchy in the Arena match. The Elite, the Young Bucks, Jack Perry, Okada taking on FTR, Darby Allin, and Bryan Danielson. The Elite win.
Yes, the Elite win. I do think, because I've already pitched this to you, I do feel like this match will go after, maybe not immediately after, but after the barbed wire steel cage match, because I do think that the Young Bucks will do, you know, a shtick in the ring where them as EVPs go on a headset and tell the people in the back to lower the steel cage, and they trap someone from the team, from the AEW team, and they beat the crap out of them. Like probably Darby, because the guy can take it and he wants to die in the ring either way. So I do feel like this, like this will happen. The Elite will win. What's happening with your mic?
I don't know. I have a ghost in my place, I guess. I don't know.
Sure. Poltergeist, yeah. Ectoplasm. Yeah. So, yeah, the Elite win here. I feel like this is the first match of many to come. And they did, because every Dynamite, they're cementing Swerve being a part of a team going against the Elite going forward. And they did a bit this week as well. So I'm looking forward to that, to see how this, you know.
Yeah. So we both have the Elite winning.
Yes. I did pop for Darby Allin.
Flamethrower.
Darby Allin being driven to the show by Tony Khan.
Yeah. Looks like you're dropping off at school. He's like, have a good day, Tony son. Khan.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget your flamethrower. Also, he's wearing, you know, this see-through, you know, was it a fishnets, you know?
Yeah, like a mesh tank. Or yeah, mesh
yeah, shirt with, or something, yeah, with cargo, you know, pants in, you know, army boots and a pink, you know, coat, of course.
Yeah.
I love that. And, you know, the
nose. A band-aid or whatever.
Yeah,
or
the band-aid on the nose. It's just so incredible. Darby loves Barbie. I bet.
All right. So we both have the Elite winning. We will move on to Roddy Strong taking on Billy Ospreay.
For the AEW International title, I kind of feel like we said everything that we wanted to about this. I do see Will Ospreay winning. I'm anxious to see where this leaves the Undisputed Kingdom, but that's their fault.
Yeah.
Okay, that's their fault. I do not want to see Will Ospreay lose here.
Yep, I have Will Ospreay winning too. So we'll go ahead and move on to this match, the TBS Championship. Willow Nightingale defending her TNT title, or excuse me, TBS title against Mercedes Moné, who's making her in-ring debut at AEW Double or Nothing.
Should be the main event.
Monet, yeah. Oh, it might be. Moné wins.
Yes. I do see Mercedes Moné win, and I do kind of see Chris Statlander turning heel. We love you, Chris Mueller. Our thoughts and prayers are with you during this match. I feel like it's about damn time.
Yeah. All right, we go to the main event here. Or possibly the main event. We don't know which one. AEW World Championship. Swerve Strickland defending his world title against Christian Cage.
This was so funny. So, because they're trying... We love you, Chris. I'm sorry. They're obviously trying to tell us the Swerve has been watching wrestling throughout his entire life, right? So he's familiar with the fact that whenever Christian Cage runs to the back, he tends to steal a car and drive away. So what he did was talk to Prince Nana, who just got cleared days ago, and he posted a picture with a coffee cup in his hand. Nana. He was like, "Hey, I just got cleared." And what we got to see was Prince Nana getting in the way of Christian Cage with his van, with a coffee in his hand. And I'm like, well, that's so great. That's so great. Swerve hit Christian Cage with a DDT on the top of the car. That sounded really, really gruesome. I love the way that they're taking advantage of the fact that it's not dark outside and they can actually do stuff in the back while it's light. I will always enjoy that. There's no way Swerve loses here because he's so damn good with that championship, in which with every day he's becoming more and more of an amazing champion in AEW.
I would
the match is
that.
Gonna be good. The match is gonna be good. So it's really I don't think I've said this on the air, but it's really weird to me to see Christian Cage without a title. It's really weird to me.
Nice. Yeah, no, I get it. I understand. But yeah, I have Swerve winning as well. So, Maggie, I'll have you plug your shit.
Guys, you can follow me on Twixter or whatever at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you for joining us. We're usually on Friday. If you just recently stumbled upon us, you know, today we're usually running every Friday at 3 p.m. on Fightful Overbooked on this very channel. Please subscribe to Fightful Overbooked. Leave a like on the video. And of course, I will remind you, please leave a comment under this podcast when it's over. It's really important for, you know, YouTube's algorithms. I'm going to be pushing this more and more in the near future. So if you want me to shut up, just leave a comment. So, and that's how it goes. I'm sure that we're going to have a pre-show for Double or Nothing on Fightful Select.
Likely.
Probably. If we can, yeah. All the excuses for us to talk to our friends, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram at Fightful Rob, and I'm also on Threads at Fightful Rob. Want to say thank you again for tuning in. We do appreciate you, and we will see you guys again very soon. Peace out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.